You might want to open your Bible to the book of Matthew in chapter 13. And in our exercise of the Gospel of Matthew, then in chapter 13, in doing so, we are given help to understand the difference between the Old Testament and how it worked, and the New Testament, how it works. The Old Testament under the law, the New Testament under grace. And thus, if you and I would think about it very much, if you went back to the Old Testament, God spoke to Adam and Eve and Abraham and Noah, etc. And that's how God dealt with people directly, with Job, with each one. When it came to Abraham, God took Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then came Moses. And Moses was with God straightway. And so Moses was to bring a people out of Egypt, and they were to hear God directly. And we did all that stuff. And they were to hear God directly. And thus at Mount Sinai, Genesis 19 and 20, they heard God directly as a nation. And they chose not to hear anymore directly like that. They didn't want to hear any more like that. So God did what? He raised up the prophets, and the prophets came all the way to the book of Malachi, the prophets. In the mean, that's Israel. Israel is able to hear by way of the prophets, etc., plus the Moses, the law, the first five books of the Bible, Deuteronomy. And they were able to do that and have that. The rest of the world was doing what it was doing. And that's what it did. And thus, you have that in Romans in chapter 1. It wasn't that God didn't say. They chose not to relate to God. They chose to leave God out of the picture, and leaving God out of the picture, they didn't want to glorify God, they didn't want to thank God, they didn't want to trust God, they wanted God out. And in the process, thus, they are, Romans chapter 1, they are without excuse, because, Romans 1, 20, etc., when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So you want to know. So here's the world back then, and that's how it was. So, and here's Israel. And Israel was to be listening to God and the prophets, but they were not listening to God and the prophets as they should. And thus they ended up crucifying Christ as they did. So now we have a different situation. Now, God, what are you going to do? So the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, is going to tell us how are people listening? How is Israel listening? How is the world listening? It isn't like the Old Testament. It's different. Not like that, no. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, over in chapter 13, as you know, as we did in the process, and it's all about parables and speaking, and God's going to help the world, that Israel and the world, that God's going to help them. But because of the crucifixion and what they have done, they have, as a world system, The world system has no place for God. The world system is under the devil. It is his system. So the world system has no place for God, no room for God. And therefore, God's going to speak and speak to whosoever that would. And thus he gives an illustration of the different ways, different responses, using seed, the sower, using seed sown in the ground, and thus telling us how it's going to go. So now, having said that, and in verse chapter 13, and it's all about hearing with the ear. But the trouble is with hearing with the ear, and you'll notice that in chapter 13, verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hear with the ear. Sliding down, you have the same at verse 13, 14, 15, and verse 15. And this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull, heavy of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they don't want to have it happen, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Now, they're there and they have it, but God isn't going to do anymore. Not doing that again. They're in unbelief and God's going to be gracious whosoever. Therefore, notice please, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 18, when anyone is hearing the word of God. That means here's all the people in the world doing what they do, what they normally do. And they're busy doing it without any question. They're doing. And in the process, when they do hear, everyone's doing what they're doing. But now and then, they hear. People hear with their ear. They have some contact, the gospel, a track, something, hear something, they hear something, witness, they're going to hear it. Words or testimony or something, they hear it, so they're going to hear. And so, when anyone hears, we're limiting to people that are here, having, they hear something, the word of the kingdom. And the word of the kingdom, as you know, as we looked at over in John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of heaven at his hand. John the Baptist was put aside. The Lord came along, chapter 4, and the Lord comes along and he preaches the same message, the kingdom of heaven at his hand, you need to repent. And when you come to chapter 10, in chapter 10, as you remember, over a page or two. And in chapter 10, and you'll remember, chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what are you going to say? What John the Baptist said? What the Lord said? What are you going to bring him? Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And verse 7. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're going to say the same message. So as they go up and down the city, up and down the streets, the people are hearing, more like it or not, they're going to hear the message. And now this, here's the tenor. And God instructs them, verse 12. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto it. In other words, they receive the messenger and his message. That's what he has, the two of them. You will see the message, and as they hear the message and the messengers, you receive them. You don't send them away. Verse 14. Verse 13. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if not, if it be not worthy, let your house peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. In other words, show them they rejected. They had opportunity to hear, but they chose not to hear. Verse 15, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So it's going to be better. But, so God, they're hearing. Christ is going to be crucified, and God said, I'm going to have to speak to you in parables, and we're going to tell you, but you aren't hearing. Chapter 11, remember? And chapter 11 ties it even further, as you know. Chapter 11 and verse 20. And then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Why? Because they repented not. They preached the kingdom of heaven at his hand. Repent. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. So now, woe, this is to the Jews. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, Gentile cities, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have repaid rain unto this day. But I say unto you, that it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So God, what have we got? Well, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear, they don't want to know. And thus back to what, chapter 13. So it's different now. God said to the Jew, the Jews were to hear, and if you go other else as you would, the Gentiles are going to hear. And that's why the gospel is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost part of the world. We're supposed to let the whole world know. Jews didn't do that. The Jews didn't go around the world. The Jews were in Jerusalem honoring Christ, but they didn't. But we're supposed to be what? His witnesses to go out and share, to show an evidence by our life, Christ in us, the hope of glory, to show his wonderful, wonderful grace in a wonderful, wonderful way. So we're to be his witnesses so that everyone can have a hearing. They'd see and can hear. Hang on to that. Now, so therefore, if I can, in doing it, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, the word understand, to bring the pieces together, to put them to whole, to take 10 words and put them in a sentence. Tie the sentence together. Tie the words together. Tie the pieces together so they come together. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, in other words, it doesn't go anywhere. It goes in their ear, but they don't go and they don't understand. So therefore, having a process, a hearing but not having, is the title. Now, so here, picking up, please, in verse 19. So, since it doesn't stay and we share together all these things which you know, the devil comes along in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and 3 and 4, and he blinds the mind of the people that don't believe. So if I don't believe, the devil can get me. As long as I'm believing, the devil can't do that. Can't touch me. But when I don't believe, my eyes are shut. My mind's shut. You say, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. You don't have life. You won't have life. Without me, you can do nothing. You won't have life. The relationship has to be, you have to be in fellowship, abiding, so you have the light. But if I turn away and don't believe, then the light goes out. And I don't have that. So now, having said that, in the light of what we're looking at, verse 19, then cometh the wicked one, and the devil comes along and is able to snatch it away, to take it away. It's in present tense. Catches it, snatch it, carry it off by force, suddenly. Take it away. Just take it away like that. The wolf catches the sheep. The word catch, the same thing. Catches the sheep, etc. Now, having said that, the wicked one catches it away, that which was sown. And so it was sown. Here's the seed. Whatever they heard, the person heard, it doesn't stay. And why doesn't it stay? Because they aren't understanding it and believing it and looking to understand it, to believe. They aren't doing that. And so when they don't do that, the devil's able to come and take it away, and takes it away very, very quickly. So, and then, now God gives you an illustration. That, he said, is like seed. Chapter 13, verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So when the sower is sowing the seed, the word of God, when you sow the word of God, and somebody just sow the seed, you can know seed, when it's casting seed, the wind and everything, it puts a seed over there on the hard ground, on the pavement, using our word. It goes on the hard ground. And when it's on this hard ground, it can't go anywhere. It's impregnable. It can't develop. It can't develop at all. And like we said, using little seeds, here's the seeds. Throw them off. If they are on dry ground, nothing's going to happen. The birds are going to come. Verse 4, and when he sowed, some fell on by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So it can't succeed. It doesn't go anywhere. It went in his head, went in the person's head. He heard it. He did hear it. We aren't talking about people that aren't listening. We're talking about people that hear something. And so people that hear, and they have no understanding. And so it doesn't stay there. It just disappears. Just fast, just disappears like nothing. And he plucks it off, he takes it away in verse 19. And that which is sown in his heart, this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Now, having said that, that's his four types of ground, and here's the one we've been looking at for a moment. Now, keeping that in mind, here's the seed, the word of God. Now, and God's going to give his word in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So his word, what is his word doing when we say his word? Go back over to John chapter 1 for a moment. Always chapter 1. And in chapter 1, you're going to pick up, if I can, in, as you know, chapter 1 and in verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. And the beginning was the Word, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you slide over, as you know, and the Word, verse 14, which was God, was made flesh. God put on flesh and blood, the incarnation, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, here's the Word of God, and the Word of God does a wonderful thing. So, here's the Bible, and here we are, his witnesses, and we share his Word in our heart, and his Word in our life, and it shows up as we give a tract or something, whatever it is, and we do that. Now, having said that, the Word became flesh. Now, and you know, tie that right now to chapter 5 and John chapter 5. And you will remember chapter 5, if I may. If I can, verse 38. 5:38. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent him, whom he has sent, him you believe not. They had rejected, they were rejecting Christ. Verse 39 then, since you reject me, said Christ, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which bear witness, testify of me. So, you don't know me, and therefore, and you have the Bible, and you read it, but you don't understand it. And if you read the Word, I am the Word, and my Word is written in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are my words. I am the Word, said God, and these Scriptures are my words. So when you read them, and you should be believing them. Now, so over to chapter 6. So we have the Bible and the words. And in chapter 6, you go to verse 60. Verse 62, I guess, for a little context. And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive the flesh. The flesh profits nothing, but the word, nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, full of life, pregnant seed, the seed sown in the heart. If it finds ground, it is going to do what it's supposed to do. It's designed. God's Word, when he finds a home for the Word to be found in the heart, it's going to go. It's meant to go. It just has to be found. But the ground is falling, in this case, on a heart, on a person, and the person in their life doing what they do. Now, having that, hang on to that thought for a moment. Now, remember in the Old Testament, God's caring and keeping of Adam and Eve sinned. And God would have was caring and keeping, and provided a wonderful Savior coming, Genesis 3:15, the wonderful Savior, Christ would die on the cross. But Cain, first one born, Cain did not believe. He wasn't going to believe. God was there. It couldn't have been better. Wow. I'm not going to do that, God. And so what did he do? Now, he rejected. God would have cared and took care of him and on their world they lived in. But Cain builded a city. And we shared that the other day, every day, for a long time. And the words of participle, it means he was building the city And the city is never finished, participle. The city never is finished. What's the city for? Since we are rejecting God and his care and keeping, then we have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care and do for ourselves. So we need to be together to complement and to provide and take care of each other in the city. That's what we need to do in the most awesome way to take care. And so therefore, in the city, looking to God, and in the light of that, you remember, what did you then have? Well, God has what? God, you're going to take care of the city? No. God said, and what Abraham and all of those, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, what did you say? We're looking for a city whose builder, Hebrews 11. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We have no city. So the city is important. Yes, Babel, Nimrod, the city, Nebuchadnezzar, the city, Babylon, the city, all the cities, all the nations. What have we got? The nations. But where's God? God's nowhere. No, God's out, out of the picture. Then we come what? Is it going to stay? Yes, that's what the whole ball game is. Where's it going? Where's it going? Revelation 17, the religion, tower, and city of Genesis 11. Revelation 17, the religion. Revelation 18, the politics. It's going to come what? To the great city. Revelation 16, etc. The city Babylon, the great city of the whole world. Take care of everybody. That's what we're going to do. And we're looking for that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, to keep you there, and so here's the seed. It falls on hard ground. The world, and people hear the word, but the devil comes along and very quickly, because the world loves darkness rather than light. Now, and so when you you hear something, and say, I heard someone say John 3:16, God so loved the world, and you're saying that. Now, if you said that, you're going to share something. I heard that God so loved the world and that he died for me. Now, how many people, if you go to the grocery store, are going to say, I got it, they're going to listen. Who's going to listen to it? No one wants to listen to it. The world doesn't want it. It's on hard ground. And you're hearing it, and the world you live in darkness, we love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. And we live in the dark. And when we get light, a little thing to give us light, the world around us hates light. So who's going to agree with it? They don't mind agreeing with a verse or a statement in the Bible. Oh yeah, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yeah. But to say, which we've been doing, to remind us of, it is God in your heart. That is unacceptable. Who's going to follow that conversation? Who's even going to pick it up unless you're a seeker? You aren't going to do it. No. The whole world around the unsaved, here's the man, unsaved man or woman, boy or girl, and the unsaved man or woman is trying to take the verse in a world that hates Christ. So everything is what? Nothing is going to confirm it. Everything is going to go against it to take it away from you. So the word you said, the word you shared, is gone. That's why the Lord will say in Matthew 7, be careful when you share. We share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he died, was buried, and rose again. But don't be casting your pearls before swine. They'll only trample them. They don't understand what you're trying to say. Keep your things simple. They need Paul. I determined to know nothing among you, Jesus, in Corinth, great city of Corinth. Paul, an intellect. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I was going to know. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so here's the seed, and the seed is to be believed. Now, and that's what's God, the seed's there, but the seed isn't being believed, and the devil takes it away in no time flat. And so in the process, that's nothing new. Here's the Jewish people heard, and they heard, but they didn't let it get to their heart. Do that a little bit so you see it in the light of the Old Testament. Over to Jeremiah, and then chapter 6. Jeremiah, and in chapter 6, if I may. And you'll notice, you'll remember it, but just tie it together in your mind afresh. Verse 16, chapter 6, Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I sent watchmen to give you to and encourage you to repent. I sent watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Verse 18. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, who is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Remember Matthew 13, they have an ear to hear, but they don't understand. They don't let it, the seed just stays in the package. Doesn't go anywhere. In fact, it's gone. The catch is gone. Now, having said that, chapter 13. And chapter 13, verse 15. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turned it into the shadow of death. In other words, you don't go, you're in the tunnel, you're going in the wrong direction, and it gets darker and darker. He turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if you will not, N-O-T, hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep before, said Jeremiah, run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. You aren't listening. You aren't paying attention. And more wonderfully and more awesomely sobering, over to Psalm 81. As you know, just to remind us. Psalm 81, picking up, if I may. And you'll note, Psalm 81, may I go? Now picking up, please. Oh, verse 10. Verse 9, get a little word here, H-E-A-R. Here. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, are you listening, said God. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord your God, which brought thee out of the mouth of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. And that's what I do. Like little birds, I'm going to take care of you. I'll take care. Now, back over, you know, without turning there, if you went to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6, and you read that wonderful chapter and go through, and you said, and God said, the world, the Gentiles, are out trying to get, survive, to succeed. They're trying to have clothes and eat. Clothes and eat and have everything. They're trying to make it in the city, trying to make it work. But you don't do that. Your Heavenly Father knoweth what need you have even before you ask Him. You want like the world. The world tries to take care of itself. The believing heart lets God take care of it. God's business is to take care of our little old life. It happens to be His business to take care. So God, here we are. And now, therefore, I even read verse, let me keep going. But my people, verse 11, 81, 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice. They didn't want to hear. Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. You want to know why people do what they do? Because they've rejected light, and they're going to be in darkness. So people can do, depending, like communism, called Marxism, and every other ism out there, whatever's out there. They can do it all. They can do it. So now, I gave them up into their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened back to hear. He that hath an ear to hear, are you hearing me? That's what God wants to know. Are you hearing me? And I say, I hear you, but I don't get it. I read. I heard it. I heard the message, but I didn't get it. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. Verse 15, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I satisfy thee. I'd take care of you, but you rejected it. You rejected it. The little bird said, I'm going to do it all by my lonesome. And the little bird doesn't know it can't do it by its lonesome. It has to be helped and cared for before it can fly. Now, so God said, listen, I would have taken care of you in a most wonderful, wonderful way, but you didn't let me do it. So therefore, they hear, but they don't understand. And they need to understand. They need to, otherwise the devil comes along, the system comes along, which belongs to him, and the system has no place for God's word and what you're looking at. It has no place for it. So if you want the world to say, wow, isn't that wonderful? They aren't going to do that. No, they aren't going to do that. They aren't going to follow that. Religion, different kinds of stupid things they could follow. And they do follow them now. Now, so in the process, God does what he does in his most wonderful, wonderful way to all work his wonderful, wonderful glory. It is sown in the heart, and the heart needs to understand God's wonderful caring in his wonder. So I need to be receiving in my heart. But the human heart doesn't receive, it doesn't believe, it isn't walking by faith. And that's what we need to do, to walk by faith. That's what God's trying to say to the whole world. And he's going to use four illustrations to tell you the world has different ways of approaching what they hear. They all know, God said, Romans chapter 1, they all know I'm God, but they have different ways to respond to it. So that the seed doesn't find good ground and never finds life. Never finds it. Religion, yeah. But religion doesn't oppress. Now think of it. If you want, what religion do you want? I don't want to get tied up. If you did religious, wait, how about if I worship Allah? Allah, okay. And every three times a day, whatever it is, and I'm going to bow down to Allah. I do. Now, Allah, say hello. He never says hello. I just do a ritual. Count your beads. Do whatever you're doing. Where's your relationship to God? There's none. The whole business of religion is bankrupt. Bankrupt. Buddhism, pantheism, whatever you want, Confucius, whatever you want. Bankrupt. Why would you do it? Why would you get into the religion? You might as well be a rascal and do everything bad because you're going to end up the same way as the religious guy is. Now, having said that a little bit, keeping that in mind, and Paul said, you're going to have faith as a grain of mustard seed, which we looked at in John 17 and 20. God said, listen, if you just have the faith of a little mustard seed, just a little mustard seed, that's all, of faith. If you had faith and you had it, it's all. And you don't have a big faith, you have a little faith, and you're going to trust God with your little understanding, limited understanding, but I'm going to trust God. I don't understand it all, God, but I'm going to trust you. I haven't been a believer. I don't know your Bible. I don't know your word, but I'm going to trust you. The more I know your word, I don't have a problem, but I don't know your word. So if I just had a little faith, even the faith as a mustard seed, just a little faith to trust you, God, that's what you're looking for. Yeah. God said, listen, we got to start somewhere. You can't do any business with me, said God. You have to understand, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please me. For he that's going to come and know me must believe that I am, that he is. And I am I reward, he's a rewarder of them, a payer in full, literally. He pays full if you trust him. He pays up. You trust him. Faith, being a mustard seed, just a little old mustard seed. So God's word is to be honored, and God's word is to find a home in our heart. But that's what we're going to do without faith. It's impossible. So we have to trust him. And that's why we shared the other day. We did it. Do it again, I guess, around you. Here's the seed. And as long as I carry the seed, I go to the bed with the seed and put her under my pillow. But the seed needs good ground. For real, for the seed. It has to get good ground. I read the whole Bible, good. But are you believing? Does the seed find a home in your heart to send its roots down and up? And you don't have to tell the seed, do you? When you plant a seed, do you have a note with it? Please, seed, would you become a tomato? Is that what you do? Tell it what it has to do? You don't have to tell a seed. A seed's just going to do automatically. We just read it in John 6:63. My word is life. You can't put my word by faith into your heart without it becoming something. You just can't do it. That's awesome. Wonderful. God's going to do it. Yes. And that's why I can carry this, carry the seed. I can do it and carry it, put it under my pillows. I have to believe it. Do you remember years ago we used to hand them out? We had all those different little packages. I said, and they were little calendars you opened up and had all the different verses. We may still have some somewhere. And they had all the verses, and when you try to practice it, and practice it. Don't say, here's the Bible. There must be, when you have praise, some devotion or something, you read something and take it in your heart and write it down, a little note. Write it down, a little note in your heart and read it. And during the day, if you're working, you don't want to do it while you're working. The boss comes by and he says, "What are you doing?" "I'm quoting a verse." No, you don't want to say that. Yeah, but when you get a break, you go sit, you go to the bathroom, you go get a coffee, whatever you do, read the verse. Read the verse. Just refresh yourself like a candy bar and refresh yourself. And the verse, by the time the day is ended, you've been able to talk about in your head 25 times the verse. That's how you memorize. It just stays. I didn't read it. I'm going to memorize. God so loved the world. No, I'm going to say, God so loved me. God so loved me that he gave his son. God loves me. And he wants me to have eternal life with him. I keep doing that. I do that all day. Boy, John 3:16 stays with me. Stays with me. I got it. And you feed your heart. A little faith, grain of mustard seed. And you're letting it lock in. And that's what you need to do. And that's what the world won't do. The world doesn't want that. They're hard ground. It's hard ground. And they don't do it. And so here we are looking, God, at the Word. And in the process, God's Word is to be honored. And God's Word is to find a home in my heart. And when God's Word finds a home in my heart, I understand, I don't understand, but it is true. I find a home in his heart, in God's heart. Yeah. I got this one, God, I got it. I got you. God, you receive me as I receive you as my Savior. In the same breath, you put me in the middle of you. And that, God, is awesome. Yeah. By faith. Yep. By faith. And so what we're going to do, God, is look to your wonderful word and working as it outworks itself in so many wonderful, wonderful ways. So going down the road, we have to remember we're part of the world and we have to be careful that we aren't letting the life's daily demands upon us, which have to be covered and we're responsible for in some sense. We have to honor that and do it. But in the same breath, feed your heart. But just a verse, not you don't have to be a big genius. Just God, the Lord, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Thank you. I'm a sheep, he's a shepherd. I'm at work, at school, driving the car, taking my medicine, going through whatever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we're trusting God and looking to God as he does his most wonderful thing. Now, having said that then, keeping that in mind, so God, looking at what you're doing, here we are in the world system. And we've advanced. We aren't in the days of Babel, and we aren't in the days of Genesis 10 or 11. We're now. So the world, city to take care of everybody. And that's what's been building all of these centuries, building. Now, where are we? Well, way, way different. We've been to the moon. We're out there by Mars or somewhere with a scope. We're doing all these things. 50 years ago, you weren't doing them. 100 years ago, you weren't doing them. And we have what? We live in a world that's more and more takes care of us. We have the comforts of a refrigerator, a car, or whatever. We don't have to ride a donkey. We have all of the different things. All of them. We aren't out in the woods. One knife, trying to survive. We aren't out there. We got all kinds of stuff. And so the world takes over more and more. We got everything. And then there's the electronic world and artificial intelligence and all of that. And as that is developing rapidly, in all kinds of ways, probably producing a Bible. The Bible, you can think where that's going to go. And in the process of doing all of this, we're looking to the AI to answer medical things, business things, all kinds of things, grocery things, everything. Health, want advice, what to do, AI. The more it becomes dependent, look, it becomes what? We have to have AI. Now, we don't go to the dictionary, we go to AI. We don't go to the doctor, we go to AI. We don't need to write a sentence, we tell AI to write a sentence. We don't have to do anything, we tell AI. Control, 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 more and more. And Watson, I think it was Watson, founded IBM, and the founder of IBM, with his computer back then, and IBM was there, and IBM, and I think it was Watson, don't hold me to that, I think so. Watson said, back then, if I had three of these computers, back then, I could control the world. I could control the world. We have now way, way ahead of him. And a guy sitting in India can run your checkbook, run your business, tell your grocery store what to have and not have, to take it all away from you. Little guy pushing the buttons. Yeah. The world system hates light. And the seed falls in the hearts of people. You give them a track, you do whatever, and you do all those things. But the world around him has, boy, is it strong. Is it powerful. And therefore, what we did 60 years ago, boy, is it different today. It's a whole different ball game today. Yeah. Because you're trying to get them to believe the book, to get life of the book. So God has to help us to understand. That's why he gave chapter 13. I don't want you to get discouraged in the world in which you live. Don't get discouraged. You need to understand, though, why it's like it is and what's happening. And thank God, you better be very thankful. You know me, said God. Be very thankful in a world that doesn't. Churches that don't. Be very thankful. I gotta quit. Hope you got a little bit.